Piercing the Veil on BBSRadio.com with your hosts Jordan and Corey and new guests appearing weekly. During the show, Jordan and Corey will pierce the many veils of illusion to reveal the universal truths and tools for negotiation inherent to success in one's daily life, including but not limited to 1. Multidimensional wordsmithing. 2. Mastering and commanding negotiations. 3. Constructive trust and wealth preservation. And 4. Spirituality. Pierce the veil, and the truth will reveal itself.
All right. Hello, world. Welcome back to another episode of Piercing the Veil. This is our 25th episode, and today is April the 10th. Excuse me. Wow, I just jumped back in time. July 10th. And we're hoping to speak with our guest, Damien. He's a managing partner, a junior partner, I should say, at Certified Forensic Loan Auditors. It's a company that was started in 2008 by some of the best home foreclosure defense attorneys in the entire United States. And their goal has not changed since they started. They are getting people success left and right, and people are getting their money back and getting their title quieted or cleared only in their name. It's really powerful stuff. It's going to be the topic of our show today. Now, Corey and I are going to go back just a little bit back and forth and speak about the recent Dallas shootings. I'm actually broadcasting here out of DFW. I was about 10 miles away from that when it happened, and the aftermath is still present in downtown Dallas where I frequent. So we'll speak a little bit about that while we're waiting for Damien to get on the line. He said he had another business matter. He's going to try to squeeze that in. So he may be on in the next couple of minutes. If not, if we can't get a hold of him, we're still going to talk about all the things that we promised you on LinkedIn and Facebook. We have a whole host of knowledge based on our own personal experience regarding big banks and fraud and mortgage fraud and securitization and things of this nature. So, Corey, how are you doing today?
Great. Everything's great. Hot as hell. But everything's good, man. I'm just taking a break from working on a little project for a friend of mine. Excellent. Otherwise, it's good. Good to be back.
Nothing crazy going on in Arizona right now, I presume.
Not that I know of, and not that I would be affected by.
Excellent answer. Excellent answer. Okay, wonderful. Yeah, and I just want to touch, it's a little fresh, so we don't really know all the points and the real truths just yet. Alternative media and independent journalists usually do a pretty good job at finding those. But I do want to mention the Dallas shootings real quick. I find it criminal. Okay, I'm not talking about the shootings, by the way. I find it criminal that every single fucking time something is happening with one of our high-up satanic-infested leaders like Hillary Clinton or, you know, any of these other people, and when they're about to actually be facing justice, it's criminal that all of a sudden there's these fucking distractions all over America, you know? Oh, well, okay, so two police shootings of people in less than a day, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, now we have this bullshit with the police officers being shot. And meanwhile, nobody is paying attention to any of the legislation that's going through right now, like the GMO unlabeling bills. We're the only fucking country in the world to not only not label them, but when we pass legislation to label the GMOs, to remove that shit. It's bullshit, right? All of these things, the Hillary thing not being indicted a day after her husband forces his way onto the plane of the Attorney General, you know, Comey's bullshit opt-out excuse of not indicting anybody. All this stuff is happening, and then all of a sudden we've got these bullshit false flags. You know what I mean? Yes, people probably died in this one. I was looking at the footage myself, and the first time I saw it, I was like, that's a pissed-off ex-Marine right there. I called it. I fucking called it, and as soon as they get the information on the guy that they fucking blew up, by the way, who's the fucking terrorist? You've got a whole squad of police officers for one guy in a parking garage. Chinese fucking police officers have riot shields, and they can get a guy holding a baby with a knife to its throat, get the baby away from him safely, and they arrest the dude without even breaking so much as his fucking finger or his arm, right? But we have to go in and blow the motherfucker up with a bomb robot? Are you fucking serious? Okay, now that I've got that out of the way, you guys are still listening, right? We are going to go into the home foreclosure stuff. Just keep your fucking eyes open, okay? Seriously, that's all I have to say to you guys. Please keep your eyes open. 2016 seems to be the year of the sheeple, and I'm not having it, okay?
So, that being said, there's a lot of you guys that are in foreclosure or getting close. You know somebody that's in foreclosure. It's a real thing. It's down to earth. It's happening right in front of you, right in your neighborhood. Some people that are fairly affluent are being affected by this as well. You know, I don't care if you've got your Benz and your Rolex and your yada, yada, yada. You still probably weren't aware, or your team of attorneys weren't aware when you went and signed this loan that you were being defrauded from the start. You know, false securitization documents, false holdings of the notes, and false ownerships, and all these different types of things where these people don't have the right, under trust law, they don't have the right to do this. Okay, Corey, what do you think about that?
yeah, you're interesting you mentioned trust law. I don't know exactly what it is or where it is, but my understanding is that a trustee, if let's say, I believe this is in statutory trusts, if a trustee, let's say if the grantor or the beneficiaries for some reason want to back out, they want their property back or whatever they granted into trust, they can do so, but the trustee has the, I think he's got the majority share of the property.
Well, this is what I understand. There's trusts, and then now you have specialized vehicles, specialized trust vehicles. And that's actually what's holding the majority of notes from, you know, all the way from 2000 to present. And so what we have is real estate investment trusts, or, you know what I mean, real estate vehicles that are using security laws and tax laws and things like this to pool under pooling services agreements. They're using to pool all of these debtors' loans and their notes and things like that together, and then they send the, you know, however many through the trust, and then all of a sudden now they can make assignments and so on and so forth. All that stuff is legit under statutory law, but they're not following their own procedures, and that's where the certified forensic loan auditors come in, and the actual audit itself identifies all these elements. So for anybody who's tried to sue before or tried to be a plaintiff, there's a lot of problems that you run into with trying to prove your own case, okay? So from the very beginning, it always helps to have a third-party record. So for anybody who's heard somebody that's in foreclosure and they tried to sue either with or without an attorney and they didn't win, or they'd had a bad time, or the judge wasn't on their side, yada, 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 it's because they were missing a third-party record. Okay, something that's signed and sworn to, like an affidavit supporting a report or some sort of audit. And that's where these guys come in. Okay, this is probably one of the best organizations I've met to assist in what I do already, which I'm hacking the system. I've never gone to law school, although I know probably a lot more than most lawyers in terms of negotiations and, you know, how it works inside of the... What I've learned from being in the trenches and hacking the system is that most lawyers don't know how to practice. You know what I mean? And the lawyers that don't know how to practice that still win are winning purely on bias, which means either the person they're up against is a pro se and the judge is completely fucking biased against that person, right? And because they didn't follow one tiny little local rule, they won't give it to the pro se. But the attorney is not required to follow that local rule. He could just walk in like, hey, Joe, how are you doing this morning? Blah, 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 blah. And so they never learn the crucial skills that are needed to go up against somebody who's real. So someone like my mother, for example, Askew and Associates, she's a super aggressive lawyer, but she does her research and she'll never lose on something easily, ever. You'll never catch her with her skirt down or pants down, whatever you want to call it, because she's always prepared for the local motion practice. She follows the local rules. She has everything prepared in advance. And she uses third-party records. So I'm tying this back to certified forensic loan auditors. These guys use these third-party records and their terminals that they use to access this information for the foreclosure is easily accessible to anybody who has the right certifications, which are not hard to get. So this is really what I'm saying. There are people that exist. There are organizations that exist that are not shams. They're not scams. They're not ripoffs. They're not attorneys that are going to bilk you for all your money and then you're still going to lose your house. This is something that can be used, that I am actually using and building a business off of, this certified forensic loan audit. It can be used to go after and retrieve the value that you've been defrauded on, to go after and clear the title of the house, to go after and get punitive damages, which are basically, okay, plaintiff, you were wronged by this defendant. Here's the damages that you deserve, and here's, you know, whatever losses, actual damages you have, you know, from value lost, all that. And then on top of that, these guys knew that the statute said they couldn't do this, and they knew they were wrong, so here's punitive damages to make sure that they don't, you know, set an example, basically. This is what you can expect when you start doing your home foreclosure defense using third-party records, okay?
Right.
And it's not some complicated thing. It's literally a package. You get an audit. You have the affidavit along with the audit. The complaint is drafted up by these people, or you can draft it yourself, or you can get your family attorney to draft it, whatever you want. And then you bring it in with real records to the court. Of course, you got to pay your filing fees. You got to serve people. That's all part of it. And I think that's a lot of why people never even consider this as an option. They're just like, oh, I'm just going to move out of my house, yada, yada, yada. When they have a real foreclosure defense strategy staring them in their face. You understand? And it took me 5 minutes to find these people on Google. And I was just looking for some sort of third-party thing to assist me other than what I was already doing for my clients. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So it is what it is. And I think that if we look very carefully into the business of mortgage loans, you're going to find intrinsic fraud. You can't avoid it. It's just there. It's been there. And they've been doing business like this for so long, you understand, that it's common practice.
Well, I mean, yeah, just the whole nature of the promissory note from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started on that. That's a whole other show. And I actually talked to Damien about that. Hopefully we'll have him on at some point. You know, if not, I apologize, listeners. We'll get him on, you know, in one of the following weeks. But
yeah. If you are foreclosed on, you're entitled to the value of that note or the return of the note, which they don't have.
That's what I was talking to him about, Corey, is that even after you've been foreclosed on and you're out of the house, if you use this process, you can still get the house back.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can get the title back, I should say. You can get all the money back you paid into it. And using that money, it might be pretty freaking easy to go to the court or go to the sheriff and say, hey, look, I want you to move these people that bought my house out of here because the sale was fraudulent. It's been reversed. And, oh, hey, look, now I've got free and clear title.
Uh-huh. What's up?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So... This really is a solution. I will say it again. Certified forensic loan audit is really the key. And this company, these Certified Forensic Loan Auditors LLC, this was started by one of the leading defense attorneys for foreclosure. You know what I mean? This guy has got a Juris Doctorate. You do not find many people that have a Juris Doctorate that are still practicing. They're either teaching, you know, at a law school, or they're a judge now, or they're this or they're that. And somebody that's still in the trenches. And built their own damn business, not just a law firm which just uses paralegals and templates and connections and networking. That's what a law firm is. It's a big old giant social media networking with the law system. That's it.
Well, it's a private. Yeah. It's the Bar Association is a private club.
Oh, that's, you know, it's like Sam's Club. You got to pay your membership dues. You have regulations. They actually have to hold trust accounts. Every single attorney has a trust account. They do all their business and their client business and their judgments and their attorney's fees and so on and so forth through that, right? So that's neither here nor there. What is here is that there's a lot of people who are listening right now and not listening, who aren't aware of this, that are being raped in their butthole by the mortgage, you know, holders or the servicers or the assignees or the signors or whoever is purporting or
the debt collectors
say that they're holding the note, right? And what Damien, if we can ever get him on, you know, I know he's a pretty busy guy, so I apologize, listeners. What Damien was going to highlight today is the actual chain or the process or the elements of how it's supposed to go down and then where all the detours happen. You know what I mean? But even not knowing that, just by listening to this show today, if you would go to certifiedforensicloanauditors.com, if you would, you know, give me a call, whatever, we can show you the ready-made quiet title package and all these things that are ready to go for you. The average consumer, the average loan person, I've never studied a law in my life, I don't know what's happening, I don't know what to do, blah, 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 blah. Do you want to get an attorney to look over the complaint that they draft for you? Probably. Do you want to put your own touch on it? Yeah, probably. Is it pretty self-explanatory? Yes. Do you think maybe you might be able to look up how to file a lawsuit on Google and go, oh, well, maybe I need 3 copies for the judge. Maybe I need to go down and pay this filing fee. Maybe I need to serve these people and yada, yada, yada. And Bob's your uncle. Now I'm done. Now we sit back and wait. I do acknowledge there's a lot of intricacies in the legal system. I acknowledge there's a lot of fear behind the ignorance of not knowing those things, but they're easily learned. You can go anywhere online and basically give yourself 90% of what you would learn in law school. The other 10% is the little dirty tricks and the memorizing of different statutes and precedents and legal theories and theories of, you know, liability and yada, yada, yada. Yes, there's some important framework, but what I am saying is you can do most of this on your own and at least sue the shit out of the bank that's fucking you. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. You know, and just never mind the fact, listeners, that you're defrauded from the first place on all counts. The note that you signed provided the value to start the whole exchange. Nobody lent you fucking anything. You were given or presented a numbered value amount of credits on a piece of paper that you weren't told that you were supposed to bring up yourself. You're the one who's coming in with a note to promise to pay. You shouldn't go and get a third-party lender to lend you credit that's already tied into your Social Security number that you're entitled to anyways. Because the only thing that operates the dollar, or the, domestically I should say, is the full faith and credit of the people. Not the United States. It's the full faith and credit of the people who use it. Because like I said in previous shows, if the Federal Reserve were to fucking crash tomorrow and people still use the dollar as a dollar and a $5 bill as a $5 bill and a $10 bill as a $10 bill, we don't need to print any more fucking money. You would have enough to do exchanges just like you would now. Whoopity fucking do. Right? Okay. That being said, okay, what they're giving to you, right, is tied into your energy and your value. You're the only thing that brings value in this world. A body. A soul right. that inhabits a body. That's just self-explanatory. You know
right.
this.
And they take the promise.
It's the Matrix.
And they turn it into a check with the endorsement on the back, which we don't know how to do, right? You take a check to the bank to deposit in the bank. They say, oh, you need to endorse it on the back. Well, you take your promissory note, which is a check, and you bring it to the bank from whom you're supposedly getting a loan. And the VP of the bank or someone authorized to endorse that note does so and turns it into money.
Well, exactly. What you have is called the cross acceptances and usufruct. And again, in a previous show, if you don't know what usufruct means, usufruct. Okay?
Usufruct.
Yeah, exactly. And it means unlimited usury at the permission of the party being used, meaning they can use your name, they can use your estate, they can use your credit, they can use your promise to pay, they can use all these fucking things that you have that are backed by your unqualified signature with no instructions to them whatsoever. You didn't come to the closing table with your own documents. You didn't come to the closing table with your own agreement. You didn't come to the closing table with your own damn note. Okay, so that is a problem. Did you know you had to do that or even had the right to do that? No.
Well, you did come with the note.
No.
The
note is produced as a service. We understand right. that you could have brought a note yourself and done this whole thing, and that we would have had to go through our legal team, and they probably would have given you some BS fucking answer as to why we can't use your note, even though it's perfectly valid and you are considered a National Banking Association as a person, just like we are under all the statutes and the codes. That's right, listeners. Every single one of you out there alive and breathing over the age of 18 is a fucking National Banking Association.
A banker.
Banker. Okay. So you have the right. If you weren't, you wouldn't be able to conduct commerce on your own behalf. You wouldn't be able to make promises or any of these types of things that are all done through banking and trust and international law and stuff like that. So that being said, because you didn't bring all these things this is not a shame on you conversation. This is just ignorance. And again, ignorance is not, you know, necessarily stupidity. I didn't know this. I've never gotten a fucking mortgage, but I didn't know this way back when I was considering it 10 plus years ago. You know what I mean? So we're all in the same boat, except now I've crawled out of the boat, swam to shore, and I've built myself a little private island. Okay? Mm. So,
well, also the reason why they probably wouldn't just take your note is, one, you'd have to have a lot of enforcement behind it. It's a tax issue. You'd have to notify the IRS properly. Say, hey, IRS, I just gave this bank a bunch of money. And let them get involved. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things
which
involved
is, which
in the process.
Why, which
plus
is why,
on
go ahead.
On top, yeah, sorry. On top of that, you know, they're making money by selling the note off and by taking your 30 years of mortgage payments.
It's absolutely criminal. It goes back to usufruct. It's basically a one-sided unilateral agreement where one party benefits nothing and has all the obligations. That's what it means. And it's happening because you didn't bring all your documents, like we said. So the service that they're providing to you, master servicer, there's a reason they say these things.
Is accessing your account that you don't know you have.
That's right. Through your social, through all these different types of things. It's not a money account. It's a credit account that's based on the birth certificate and all these other securitized.
Because there is no money.
That's right. So, making it really simple, coming back to simple solutions, because a lot of people haven't listened to our show before. They might have just saw the word foreclosure defense on LinkedIn or Facebook that we were sharing, and they're like, oh, great, I'm going to listen to this. Thanks. Stay on board, because I promise you're going to learn something that you have, you know, that you need to learn. First, what I would say is the service they are providing to you is the reason or the justification they use for having the rights and duties under the mortgage agreement, which manifest in the right to beat you over the brow if you don't pay according to the agreement. You know what I mean? The right to go take your house from you and then still ask for fucking money afterwards. All these different things that are the right to, you know, use your own credit against you and make a whole bunch of money hypothecating it through these securitization processes. Understand? So all this is happening, but it's all fraud because they don't tell you any of it. I speak to a listener, if any of you were ever to sit down in front of somebody and say, hey, you know, you have the right to come up with your own paperwork. It might take you a couple months and it might take you going through the IRS and using them to come in and make this company do what you want because they're so used to acting criminally, but you have the right to do it. A lot of you would say, oh, great. Well, I don't want to have any part of this transaction. And another part of you would say, oh, awesome. Yeah, well, thanks for letting me know. I'll go do that. And I'll be right back to beat you guys over the head with my own credit, like you're trying to do to me. Understand? But you weren't told that, so you weren't able to make that decision, and therefore you were deprived from the get-go. That's called fraud and the concealment. And that's one of the causes of action that these certified forensic loan auditor people, who, again, this company was started by one of the best mortgage and home foreclosure defense attorneys in the United States. They know what the hell they're doing, right? This right here, the audit comes into play, and it shows that they defrauded you in the concealment. They defrauded you in the inducement, which means we conceal this shit from you first so that you would be enticed, right? And then we induced you to agree to something based on those enticements without telling you about the stuff we concealed from you. So there's a double whammy right there. And then on top of that, all the fucking laws we're supposed to follow ourselves, we're not even doing that shit. We're just skipping around here and there. We don't record the note where it needs to be. It doesn't follow the terms of the pooling service agreement when it goes to pool with all these other hundreds of notes, by the way, which is what they do with the birth certificates. They pool all those fucking things together. So it's the same thing, and it's all fraud. And you have the right to recover on fraud even after you've been foreclosed on. Okay?
No statute of limitations on fraud.
That's right. Now let's talk simple solutions. Oh, Jordan, Corey, you know, I don't have the money to go, you know, this or that or blah, 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 fuckity blah. Okay, you got money to pay your phone bill. You got money to this, hopefully, if you're, you know, and if not, your life situation is pretty much far gone to try to access these rights. You know what I mean? You have a duty to make your life situation come up a little bit more before you access this. But anybody who's saying, oh, my God, you know, it's too hard, blah, 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 blah. No, it's not. Send the company a qualified written request. Send them something. Just write something on a piece of paper. I want you to show me how this happened. I want you to tell me everything that you didn't tell me that if you had told me at the beginning of this process, I wouldn't have signed the note because I know it exists. And if it doesn't exist, then sign it under penalties of perjury that it doesn't.
Yeah, and you know what I mean? You can Google qualified written request.
Yeah, you can do anything on the internet, even if you can barely type with one finger. Type it up, print it out, send the letter off, and hey, who knows? You might stall your foreclosure or your sale, your notice of sale, for another 5 months. Doing nothing is always the wrong solution or the wrong, not useful solution.
It's acquiescence.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so let's go to our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll speak a little bit more about this stuff. It doesn't seem like we're going to have Damien on today, so I will continue to speak on what I know about and some of my cases I've done and some dirty tricks from lawyers. we'll just talk a little bit without giving legal advice about some of the court system procedures and things like that. So we'll go to break and we'll come back soon.
Having trouble with harassing collection agencies? Creditors breathing down your neck? Feeling like you're drowning in debt? The Guild of Tactical Wordsmiths is here to help you now. GTAC is an ecclesiastical guild association of aggressive debt assassins who can eliminate your debts, free negative marks from your credit report, and get you compensated for unfair collection practices or emotional damages. They have a proven track record of success and sustainable results, which will have creditors and debt collectors shaking in their boots. This is not your typical credit repair or verification. GTAC uses proven techniques and negotiation tactics to completely eliminate your debt or conflict, remove negative marks from your credit reports, and in most cases, GTAC will retrieve compensation for you. Call for your free 15-minute consultation today at 214-290-3053.
Meet Corey, a talented musician, philosophical artist, designer builder, and co-host of Piercing the Veil, a booming radio show which focuses on spreading rare or esoteric knowledge. When he's not doing art, making music, designing, or hosting on the air, Corey is an experienced life coach who specializes in wealth management, preservation, and acquisitions. For a free 15-minute consultation, call 520-230-2332. Or email cr_s@unseen.is with questions or concerns. Expand your possibilities and thrive today.
All right, welcome back, listeners. This is our 25th show, Piercing the Veil. We're talking about home foreclosure defense strategies, some of the fraud that's wrapped up in the whole process itself. We were set to have a special guest on today. His name's Damien from Certified Forensic Loan Auditors. Obviously, that did not happen. We're halfway through our show without our guest. Thanks for still listening. I appreciate it. All right. So we touched on a few things, namely the start of the process. Everybody who's ever looked at getting a house or doing something like this, there's a lot of paperwork involved. There's a lot of time involved. There's a lot of third parties involved. There's a lot of pass-throughs of monies back and forth. The whole process can seem pretty damn confusing. But basically, it goes like this. You either have the money or you don't. If you've got money, you're going to go straight and buy a house. If you don't, then obviously you're going to go try to get what's called a mortgage or a loan agreement. And you would go unsuspectingly to some sort of company that provides that, which would be a national banking association, which is like Wells Fargo or SunTrust Mortgage or Citibank or Bank of America, yada, yada, yada. And then you would go in there and you would ask them, hey, I would like to get, I'd like to purchase this house. Can I get some money to do that? And they would say, sure. And instead of just qualifying you for a loan so that you could go do that because it's unsecured, they want to secure the property you're trying to buy with a loan they're giving you to buy the property, which is, you know, red flag number one. That might seem like logic to anybody who's in the securitization business, but right off the bat, the way we do business and secure obligations and bonds and notes is just complete fucking crap. It's all designed to hypothecate. So that one person can take a value and times it by 10 and make all these different residual payments and then suck in the value. And then when the person that is obligated on that value, like the person who borrows, the homeowner, then their all their life and their benefits and their property is taken. And it's just designed to suck it in. So that's what you're experiencing. And the process is you go through closing, you sign all these documents, you sign a note that wasn't provided by you. It was given to you. You understand? So you're promising to pay on an obligation that you didn't even create. Yeah, you create it with your signature, but you don't create the paperwork. You don't create the terms. You don't create the vehicle. You don't do any of this stuff. So the banks have done it for you for a long time. Securitization of mortgages, I believe, has been going on for a very long time in different ways, shapes, and forms, but it really, really hit real big in around 2000. And then everybody knows it crashed around 2008. And during this time, all the way up to 2016, a lot of these mortgages were robo-signed. The note was just robo. It's just basically, oh, we signed this that we're the beneficial holder in due course, or we're the trustee, or we're this. There's all these paperwork that's just signed with the intention of putting this stuff into these vehicles, and they never do. Does it make sense? Mm. But then they'll come and foreclose on somebody, even though they know they have no standing. So this is the thing. If you're facing foreclosure, there's a 9 out of 10 chance. I'll repeat this. This is probably the most important thing that we've said this whole show. If you're in foreclosure, or you're about to be there, or you already have been, there's a 9 in 10 chance that they had absolutely no fucking right to foreclose on you at all. They had no right to even ask you for payments that whole time, and they had no right to service the note either. Okay? And that's what these certified forensic loan auditor people are coming in and finding. So, that's just a little bit about that. And, you know, so when we went to break and we came back, our focus was going to be basically on some of the stuff that we're doing, the procedures to make this happen. And Corey, I know you've been in court here and there, and I've actually been in court a lot. And I can tell you this, you must be thinking 3 steps ahead, mm-hmm. especially on a home foreclosure. Find out what's in the public record. Find out what are they required to be doing under your original. This is stuff that the homeowner can do by themselves. They can go back and they can read word through their note and their agreement, their mortgage agreement. Most people keep it. Some people throw it away and don't have it, but most people keep it. Go through all your paperwork, look at it, read it. Take a highlighter and highlight anything, number one, that you don't understand, or number two, that pisses you off. Lender is obligated to pay at a 5.1% annum for 30-year obligation, and if he fails, then he's going to, you know, we're going to take the house. That type of shit. All right? Those are terms that are unilateral against you. You need to highlight that type of stuff, right? Go through and find the things that are wrong with the agreements that you've made. That's the first step. And once you can identify those, then you can start forming a theory of how their behavior was wrong, how they knew it was wrong, and how it damaged you. If you can get those 3 things into play, you've got yourself a complaint. Okay? There are drafting attorneys out there, people. You don't have to hire somebody for an hourly rate. You don't have to hire somebody on a retainer. There are people that will actually draft a complaint for you. There are people that aren't attorneys that draft complaints. Hands raised in the air right now. I know you guys can't see it, but that's what I do a lot for people. I pass it on off to them. I say, I can't give you legal advice. This is basically my work product that will assist you in getting started. And now once you've reviewed it and made some changes, it's yours. And I have nothing to do with it. And people have success if they make it their own and they actually do something with it. So,
yeah, there's something I want to touch on. You mentioned earlier well, basically, let me say this. There is no lien on the property filed anywhere. When a bank takes your collateral, there's no lien filed on the collateral typically. This is what you were saying, like answer, you know, if you get foreclosure notices, answer them, take action, do That's something. Right. Because they don't get a bona fide lien hold interest until you default.
That's right. Until you go silent or you don't rebut or you don't ask them.
So the whole thing that even makes it legally legitimate is it's not the original mortgage contract necessarily.
No, it's your acceptance of it.
It's your acceptance of it, but it's also your failure to respond to the default notices. That's where they get the lien hold interest in your property formally and can subsequently go ahead and foreclose on you. They don't have liens on your property until you default.
There's a lot of things that are only perfected through default and perfected through silence, and a lot of people throw their stuff away in the trash because it's too scary. How is a letter more scary than what could happen from the letter? And even more scarier, than knowing that the letter is about something and you know that you're throwing it away and that you should at least read it, but you don't. Mm. And that the consequences could be drastic. That shit right there has got to go, people. That's the first thing you need to change. Well, I love you. Nothing against you, but the fear has got to go.
Yeah, the fear of litigation in and of itself. I know people, someone very close to me had a property foreclosed on, and I was attempting to advise them. They were so freaked out about the possibility of litigation that they just gave up. They rolled.
I hear right now, and maybe I'm psychic, maybe I'm crazy, but I hear a lot of people that would go, but Jordan, Corey, all this just seems so hard, and it's so this, and it's so that, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
How could we know, and how could we know? Well, you know now.
Right.
You know now.
This same person, when I was offering myriad possible solutions, the response to all of them was, that sounds complicated.
Let me ask you a question. So you can either A, ask questions in whatever way, manner, shape, or form that is available to you monetary-wise and intelligence level-wise. You can either A, ask questions of a purported agreement that has drastic consequences, i.e. your mortgage or your loan, and you can clarify and you can respond and you can make records and you can preserve things and you can preserve your objections. And that would lead to a probable result of you at the very least, have a better understanding of your situation and what risks are there and how to mitigate them. That's valuable. That's beneficial. That's not scary. What is scary is knowing that if you don't answer, right, or don't do anything and say, oh, it's too complicated. Are you fucking kidding me? How complicated is it going to be to try to go to your work and go to your job and keep your job when you have no house and you're living on the street? You know what I mean? How complicated is it going to be to do your daily Facebook status updates and your selfies and all your other fucking shit when you got to go from coffee shop to do your Wi-Fi because you lost your damn house?
Right.
You understand?
Well, particularly, too, the fear of litigation is also, at least in this particular situation that I was referring to, didn't really make sense to me because either through some sort of account authorization, power of attorney, or granting of rights, titles, and interests into a trust, they're not going to be involved in any litigation, really, because it's someone else. Namely, it would have been myself that was engaging with these parties, the trustees, the bank, so on and so forth, and that part of any contractual stipulation with them is that they would be stopped from communicating with the original party, or they would be defaulting according to my counter agreement with them. Okay, so the irrational fear, deer in the headlights. Never has that terminology made so much sense to me than in dealing with folks who are in this type of situation.
Yeah, and so what you're touching on is a basic spiritual thing or basic human thing that has to be taken care of before. Let me explain it like this. You make a major decision in your life. Do you know the feeling some people call it anxiety, but the feeling of, I know that I'm about to do this, and I know this is going to make a big change, and I can either just let this feeling overcome me and worry about all the small things of how it's going to happen, or I can just do it. I think everybody's familiar with that on some level, right? The, oh my God, I'm paralyzed deer in the headlights by, litigation, that shit right there is the complete antithesis to what you need to be doing. What you should be doing is immediately accepting that it's going to change, accepting the benefit, and pushing straight through. You know what I mean? And if you can't do that, unfortunately, you're probably going to lose your house if that's what the issue is.
Because it'll be a fight. It'll be a fight.
It's a fact. And it's not a fight. It's a beatdown.
Yeah.
Even me, I know the tricks that they use. I know to expect them, and I prepare for them. And they still fucking use them, even though they know that I know that they know that I know what they're doing. And that is just, you must be impenetrable.
Right, because they're going to, even if you're right, they're going to know where you're coming from. They're going to know what you know, right?
That's right.
And they're going to test you.
I'll tell you this, man. I'll tell you this. The most satisfying thing in the world is winning against a big bank that thought you were some dumbass pro se party. Mm-hmm. The fact that you even tried and you lost, if you did, anybody mm-hmm. out there, I commend you who's done their own foreclosure defense, because there's a lot of people who are confronted with the court system and litigation. You know, we talk about traffic tickets, that happens to a lot of people. That's fucking small potatoes. There's a lot of people who are confronted with the situation of, okay, well, I've got to go to work to support my family. I've got to have this house so I can support my family and keep them safe. But I'm about to be foreclosed on, and I can't afford to go get an attorney. I can't stop working my job to go do it myself. But fuck it. I'm going to do it myself, right? And they lose because of some bullshit technicality, or the lawyer said something they didn't respond to, or they know the judge and they're tapping their fucking Masonic ring on the table, communicating back and forth.
Yeah. Or they didn't know what they were doing.
That, and of course, that's a big one too. And again, the not knowing what you're doing before you go in leads to the pro se bias. Mm-hmm. I'll just call it out for what it is. There's a reason why attorneys think you're a dumbass. There's a reason why judges despise and fucking hate pro ses. They hate them for the most part. There's always exceptions, but everything I run into so far has been extreme bias. And the first word out of my mouth is pro se bias should not preclude this court from affecting a proper and due equitable judgment. And I would presume that's not the case here. Hmm. That being said, blah, 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 blah. And I see the eyes widen and they're like, wait, they even know this? Like how?
This ain't your average pro se.
And so it perks their ears up. They try a little bit more carefully, but they still try their dirty tricks, man. The lawyers is the they. That's who I'm talking about when I say they. Most lawyers and attorneys win their cases as defense attorneys using dirty tricks. It is what it is.
Defense attorneys should be shut down immediately. I mean, not defense attorneys. Prosecuting attorneys should just be shut down automatically. I mean, anything that they say should be objected to.
Yeah, I do.
and then it's up to the judge to either overrule or sustain your objection, and they have to. And if they overrule it, then it's incumbent upon you to have them explain why.
I'll say this: they're supposed to.
They're supposed to.
I will never ever say. You know, there's a lot of the guru guys out there. Guys, if you just appoint the judge as the trustee and you waive the benefits, it like totally removes their jurisdiction, and you have to like say it like this, and then like if they say this, then do that. And they have to. They have to dismiss the court.
No, they don't, because just you being in there most of the time, being there most of the time gives them jurisdiction.
And I'm like, yeah, that's great, bro. Go do all that stuff. And the judge is like, sir, I can't hear that right now. We'll hear that later. Please stand over there. And the guy goes and stands over there.
Boom. Boom.
Got you. Now, anything you say doesn't matter. And now you're under his jurisdiction and all that shit goes out the window, whether it was true or not. And by the way, yeah, every single fucking court case, listeners, is a constructive trust in some way, shape, form, or another, securitized by the court's EIN number, just like everybody else. They have to report taxes, and you can shut down court cases with the IRS by making the IRS come in and claim funds that you've reported to the IRS that they're liable for.
Everybody, I want to say, and it's understandable, everyone is freaked out by the IRS.
They're puppy dogs. Okay. They're puppy dogs compared
they
to...
They are your best friends in the world in such matters.
That's right.
If you know the process, if you know how to use them, because where was it? Somewhere in New York or Philly or something not long ago recently, a bunch of judges got disbarred and jail time because they were committing fraud. You know, they were railroading defendants and so on and so forth. I mean, obviously more than they typically do.
more than it is allowed through judicial discretion. Yeah.
Right. And basically, you know, someone called the IRS on their ass. And that's it. Municipalities, court systems, state governments, county governments, everybody is afraid of the IRS. Because everybody, in fact, as far as I'm concerned, all or most of the courts have double books anyway. They're keeping They're keeping double books.
Anybody, so anybody who would even think about that type of concept, Corey, would have to look up the word CAFR on Google. C-A-F-R.
Yeah. Well, that's it right there.
Okay. Yeah, that's excellent stuff. It's all applicable. I will bring it to this now. I promised you more foreclosure defenses and strategies. And I will say this. If you have lost your home, if you're about to lose your home, if you're in foreclosure right now, if you can do some basic research, maybe make a few requests to whoever's trying to foreclose on you, and if they respond with those requests, you should see that MERS, M-E-R-S, Mortgage Electronic Registration System, is involved with your mortgage in some way, shape, or form, and usually as a purported beneficiary or something like that. If MERS is involved with your mortgage, you have about a 95% chance, if you bring it up in the right way, of getting that shit thrown out immediately and countersuing. That's the thing people miss. They're always like, oh, well, I tried to do a defense, and I tried to, you know, defend myself and blah, blah, blah. Great person. I commend you. You had the balls to walk into court and take the defense. If you took the defense, you lost for a reason because you were defending and not on the opposition. Mm-hmm. Your defense should always be a counterclaim. And in that counterclaim, you would bring all of the affirmative defenses that you would have if you were just responding or answering. Mm-hmm. If you do not counterclaim, you waive it. You waive the right to have a position of power that actually puts these people in a bind.
Okay? Plaintiffs win, defendants lose.
That's right.
Now here's the thing. I think that and the it's like 98% of every fucking court case of because it's all commerce. it's all some kind of contract based thing, but you know, the numbers are very clear. Defendants lose 98% to 99% of the time. And no one, I never hear anybody bring that up.
The 2% would be governmental agencies or police officers or judges that are being sued. Those are the defendants they don't usually lose because of their bullshit immunity.
Or hugely egregious, obvious missteps on the part of the plaintiff.
That's right.
Or the prosecuting attorney. Some typically those 2% are like thrown out on some technicality.
So let's just go back and recap. And because you explained, you know, what to expect and all these other things, I just want to recap simple solutions. We talked about a lot of in-depth things here to try to fill the gaps in the space in between what Damien was going to bring on. And in that, we've mentioned a lot of stuff they do wrong. We've mentioned sort of the process and all these types of things. But here's some simple, very basic solutions. Number one, like I said, if you're one of the people listening or you know somebody who's in foreclosure, send a fucking letter now. I don't care if it's in fucking crayon. Send a letter to that person and say, hey, what happened? Describe all the documents and the transactions that happened when I signed up for this mortgage you guys are foreclosing on. Mm. Oh, there's some rattling or rapper or something. Corey, that might be coming from
that's
your line.
It's probably my headset.
Okay. It just sounds like somebody opening up a piece of candy. I bet it's your beard. I'm sorry, listeners. I do something like that. Okay. So what I'm saying is you can write a letter. You can ask them what happened during the original transaction. Who are the parties involved that I didn't know about? What did you guys do with the note exactly in the mortgage agreement? And who's a real party in interest? You can ask a number of different questions. These are some of the basic ones. Send the letter off and keep your records. And if you ever have to go, make the hard choice of, okay, will I give my house up or I go into the court system even though I don't know anything about the law and I protect myself? Well, now you've got a record. Then you can stand on that record and ask the court to make them answer those questions. And yes, there's procedures on how to do that, yada, yada, yada.
No, honestly, notary present.
Yeah, in today's day and age, man, there's no fucking excuse. I don't care if you've never gone to law school. You can at least teach yourself enough to responsibly, that's the key word, to responsibly and not frivolously file lawsuits. And you can file complaints, you can hold people accountable, you can enforce your interests, and basically take your power back and stop being a sheeple. It's very easy. And the letter and the records are the first things that you do before you go sue anybody. Understand? So do the letter. And there's also something that if you're being sued right now or you're in foreclosure and they're about to sell your house, here's a golden nugget for anybody. Liz Pendens, Lispendens. Look up what a lispendens is. It's literally a one-page notice, usually a less than a paragraph, that there's a challenge to the title of this house, and there's an action being filed against, you know, whoever's claiming the title, which would be the bank.
Instance breaks on the process.
It puts the brakes on the sale. And then you can go in to small claims court. This is what I would suggest to anybody who's never practiced law, who doesn't have an attorney, doesn't know how to get an attorney, none of this stuff. Go to small claims court. You can only claim $10,000 of the value of your house. You can put the whole house on there that you're suing for, the $300,000 house. You can sue for $500,000 in damages. You can sue all these different types of things. And go to small claims court where you don't need an attorney. And they are usually pretty easy on you. And, of course, if you win, you can only collect a judgment on $10,000. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. But in most small claims courts, there's a rule that says you can attach claims for value way over $10,000, but use that venue. And I will tell you, 9 times out of 10, that those people don't expect that you can do that, and the lawyers or the legal counsel for the bank won't even show up, and then bada boom, now you've got a default judgment. You can quiet the title to your house that way. And you never even had to get an attorney, and you never had to learn much about law, so on and so forth. So there are solutions. If you call, listen today, expecting, you know, certified forensic loan auditors to walk you through and hold your hand, that's going to be another episode. I apologize that didn't happen, but we do basically have the same types of solutions. I'm doing stuff that they're doing. They're doing stuff that I'm doing. They're doing a few things that I haven't tried yet that I haven't been doing, but I'm trying right now. Which are pretty instant responses, right? I've got two forensics certified loan audits in two foreclosure counterclaim cases right now, one in federal court in New Jersey and one in Texas in Austin. And I tell you what, those attorneys they're visibly shaken by their emails back to us. They didn't even answer, and they're already emailing us. They should tell you something.
Yeah, and email, well, I don't know. Email communication might be a record of some sort.
They didn't
answer formally by mail, in other
because
words.
They're going to have to either, one, answer and admit their fraud because it's right there in the audit. They're going to have to, two, deny and risk getting a judgment in whole by a jury who sees the evidence that their fraud is there. Number three, they can either dismiss or try to dismiss based on bullshit and then hope that works, and if it doesn't, well, then they're done with their Rule 12b motions to dismiss. Now I can come in with something else, all sorts of different things. Right. So when a lawyer when a lawyer contacts you before they've even had to answer or before the time to answer is even up, you know they want to settle.
Sure.
That's been my experience so far.
And trial juries can go either way. One, the jurists can say, this guy is just trying to get out of paying his mortgage payments. On the other hand, it could be like, yeah, these banks are, you know, committing fraud on all of us. So it could go either way as far as the temper or temperament of the jury. There's also another thing too. There's also bankruptcy as a last resort.
That one is a last resort, Corey, but there's a problem with that. In bankruptcy, the trustee's job is to get as much money as possible for the creditors and for herself because, lo and behold, every trustee gets 10% of the commission of the assets seized or taken or discharged during bankruptcy, or not discharged, that aren't subject to discharge, I should say. Mm-hmm. And yes, while there are exemptions on your homestead, if you don't have a homestead in a regular house, your house is not exempt usually. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very difficult to not lose your house, a $350,000 house, to pay $20,000 in tax debts and then not sell the whole fucking house off just for that. And then the trustee gets to keep the rest, 10% of the rest, and then the rest of that goes to the state and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. It's not ideal. It is it is an option. It is an option. Mm-hmm. Not ideal. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate your points, Corey. I know this is sort of not prepped for. You know, we expected Damien to be on. I'm sure that's a good reason for not being able to be here, and we will bring him on. We'll bring him on, you know, a week after next week. I will say this: next week is going to be Johnny Delirious. So, any of you guys who are just coming on and listening, you're in for a treat. If you don't know who Johnny Delirious is, He's a scientist that used to run a lab in the 80s, and he was addicted to cocaine, and he had hepatitis C, B, and A, and all sorts of different diseases. And then he got abducted in 89 while he was in his garage by gray aliens working with U.S. military on a ship. And he wrote a whole book about it, describing things that other people have confirmed. And it's just really, really interesting. He came back, he tapped into the hive mind of the grays and came back with a way to healing knowledge, basically. He extracted healing knowledge and programs that he can heal people. So
awesome. I missed the last one. I wasn't
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Our listeners are going to love it. I appreciate anybody who is listening to the foreclosure defense strategies we mentioned today, which are just a basic highlight, and we'll get into the meat and potatoes of it when we have Damien on. And, you know, as always, look within. Thank you so much for listening this week. Corey, thank you for your points, and we do apologize for the mishap. Just stick with us, guys. If there's any, like, chewing noises or typing or this or even, like, the screeches or the commercials breaking in, some of that stuff is not us, I promise. You know, when you put information out here of this nature, you do get a lot of static and flack and trolls and, you know, hacking and so on and so forth. It's not out of the realm of possibility. So we love you. Look within. We'll see you next week. We'll have Johnny Delirious. Don't miss it. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.